Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. On February the 18th, the church remembers the Beato Angelico. Most of us are familiar with his artwork, but who exactly was he? And how did he come to be a preacher and painter? It was with the intention of finding out that I made my way up to the Aventine Hill one afternoon to speak to a fellow Dominican you may already be familiar with, as he's often been a guest on my programme. He resides at the Church of Santa Sabina, where St. Dominic and St. Thomas Aquinas once lived, and he's Father Robert Ombres, the Procurator General of the Order of Preachers. But before I allow Father Ombres to paint for us a personal picture of this friar, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Fra Giovanni of Fiesole, the Beato Angelico's name in religion. He was born around the year 1400 and given the name of Guido in the Tuscan village of Vicchio in Mugello near Florence. When he turned 20, he entered the Dominican order in the new convent of strict observance in Fiesole, perched above Florence. It was here that he was ordained priest, and here that he painted the Great Annunciation and Coronation of Our Lady masterpieces. His artistic skills were immediately remarked by Cosimo de' Medici, who entrusted to him the convent of San Marco in Florence. But recognition of his talent went beyond the boundaries of Tuscany, leading him to Rome, where Pope Eugene IV asked him to paint a chapel in St. Peter's Basilica. Famously, in the Vatican, he also painted the chapel of Nicholas V. It's in Rome, in the Dominican convent of the Minerva, that he ended his days. And should you wish to, you can visit the church of Santa Maria Sopra Minerva, where you will find his tomb to the left of the high altar. Strikingly, a sculptured face of this friar is visible on the marble slab which covers the tomb. But it's not about Fra Angelico in death that I wish to speak to you about. So at this point, I'd like you to join Father Robert Ombres to find out more about this Dominican artist, who so masterfully features angels in his paintings, including dancing angels. Stay tuned then, as I ask him my first question. Shall we start then with 1982, when John Paul II signed the motu proprio for the liturgical cult of the Blessed Angelica? Was that a surprise to you as an order?
No, I think we'd, in some sense, wanted it for centuries. And that's precisely what it was. It was the recognition of a devotion, a cult, to him as a blessed, as a saint, for a long, long time. The timing could have been some years before, some years later, but that it happened, I don't think, caught us by surprise.
You're an order of preachers. Fra Angelico was an artist. Where's the connection there, and what was his special charism?
The connection is communication. One of the many mottos of the Dominican order, of which I'm a member, a friar, to give to others the fruit of our contemplation. And I think, therefore, painting, as in this case, lends itself first to being communicated, and then to being precisely the fruits of contemplation, because of all the elements of contemplation, vision is one of them, to see. And traditionally, heaven will, for us, mean the beatific vision. And therefore, for a Dominican artist, it wouldn't be a big jump to communicate through the skills he had. And it's generally accepted that Fra Angelico was a painter before he joined the order. He was already trained and already very able. The medium might have been the same, but the message changed.
So what was his message, do you think, in particular? He painted a lot of angels, didn't he? And he was known as the Beato Angelico.
This goes back a long way. I think he died in 1455. 100 years after that, another painter, but also a writer called Vasari, wrote the lives of the artists, the painters, in the same Florentine milieu which Fra Angelico belonged, and so collected lots of tradition, stories about Fra Angelico. And I suppose it was for the last 500 years due to Vasari that the name has stuck, but it didn't start with him. Angelic, different levels, I think. One, because of the purity, the holiness of his own life, which was recognized by many, and hence the tradition of his own holiness, sanctity. The subject matter, which often included angels, as you say, and many people's Christmas cards have angels, and there'll be Fra Angelico's angels, extraordinary beauty, purity, which they reflect. And angelic because it was thought that it almost took an angel to paint the way he did, not just angels, but all the other saints. I think there are many reasons then why he was known as the angelic painter and then as the angelic friar.
You have an angelic doctor as well, St. Thomas. Is there anything that you think connects the two?
Yes. I would say St. Thomas Aquinas was called the angelic doctor, partly for the purity of his own life, extraordinary splendor of it, if you like, of his virtues, and because in the Summa Theologica, best-known work, he has the longest treatment of angels of any of his writings, and within Catholicism, there became one of the standard accounts of the angels. And as it happens, the link is St. Antoninus, Archbishop of Florence, who knew Fra Angelico, personally lived with him in Fiesole in San Marco, and all of them would have had a respect for St. Thomas as a theologian.
The Beato Angelico, also known as the blissful Dominican, does that mean he found happiness in the monastery or in his painting? Is there anything special in it?
Again, it's two levels, I think. It's in his own life. People often commented on how he never seemed to be angry, seemed to be meek, mild, withdrawn. He belonged to the observant school of Dominicans, a movement which goes back to St. Catherine of Siena. And as it happens, he's buried just a few feet away here in Rome from St. Catherine of Siena. And St. Antoninus belonged to the same movement. It's called it of observant friars. I think Vasari thinks of his art as blissful and joyful because so much of it is based on heaven and communicates the radiance and the joy which goes with heaven being beyond tears and sin, beyond the need of repentance and of guilt.
What do you think his legacy is to us today? I mean, at the time he was considered to be a modern painter. Now we see him as
the latter part of the Renaissance and beyond. He obviously has an appeal because people flock to admire his masterpieces.
Do you think they understand the spirituality?
Not completely, but then I'm not sure that the preacher expects to be understood completely, especially by non-Christians or non-Catholics. But something is always communicated of the truth being true for everyone. I would say that he was in a moment of transition in terms of art, of technique, of we usually call the Renaissance, the Middle Ages, Byzantine art. So he was innovative and traditional. I think people go for the sense of spaciousness he gives them, whether they're believers or not, the sense of transcendence, that beyond the visible and also importantly within the visible, there's a depth which isn't exhausted by the five senses. And I think he manages to convey that even to people who wouldn't call themselves Christians or believers.
Is there a particular painting that means something to you? Maybe you mentioned that you'd visited the Dominican convent in Florence by San Marco. Is there something there?
I visited San Marco more than once, and here in the Vatican in Rome is a chapel painted for Pope Nicholas V by Fra Angelico, recently restored. It was the Pope's own chapel, where only the Pope and a few others celebrated Mass. But then, of course, I've seen exhibitions, I've seen books, I've seen postcards, because his work now is scattered at least a dozen museums around the world. There's one in Britain, in London, in the National Gallery. A detail of one of his paintings, if I had to choose one to keep, is that moment which I think you alluded to, where in heaven, in the transfigured world, angels and saints, in the light of God, almost are in a dance in a garden, because that shows us both the unity of creation at all its levels, angelic, human, plants, living things, and it's transfigured. It's what it was, but more than it could ever hope to be. And I think that communicates the joy and the desire for the things of God to me.
Do you want to add anything? What Fra Angelico means to you personally, or an episode that you'd like to connect to something?
Or someone?
I would mention another Florentine, Dante Alighieri. In the Paradiso, at one point, Dante refers to Beatrice, his beloved Beatrice, and he says that she is the one, I'll say it in Italian first, but it's fairly clear in the English translation, quella che m'imparadisa la mia mente, she who in paradise is my mind, And that's more or less a verb coined by Dante, to imparadise his mind. M'imparadisa la mia mente. And I would say why Frangelico has come to mean so much to me is that he imparadises my mind. He manages to convey and make attractive and convincing the glory and the splendour beyond the suffering of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the suffering of the martyrs, the mess of the world in all its different forms. In a few words, mine, not his, I would say that in Frangelico, the disfigured becomes the transfigured. And I think he imparadises my mind.
And warm thanks there to Father Robert Ombres, Procurator General of the Order of Preachers. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.